My guest is cartoonist Matt Groening. He's best known for his syndicated cartoon strip, Life in Hell. Groening describes it as an amusing little trifle of a comic strip starring assorted crudely drawn rabbits. The strip appears in more than 60 newspapers. Most are alternative weeklies. Groening has compiled some of his strips in three books, Love is Hell, Work is Hell, and his latest, School is Hell. I'll let Groening describe his cast of characters.
I only draw rabbits. And a couple of humanoid figures. My main rabbit characters are Binky. He has very bulgy eyes, sort of a button nose, and extremely prominent teeth. He's based on a guy I went to college with. And then he has an illegitimate son named Bongo. And Binky's estranged girlfriend is named Sheba, who's basically Binky in drag. It's a part of a long tradition in cartooning to do female versions of the male characters just by giving them eyelashes and a bow on top of their heads. I'm thinking, of course, of Minnie Mouse and Daisy Duck. And then I have my two humanoid figures, Akbar and Jeff, who are either brothers or lovers, or perhaps both. And they wear fezes, and they have very big noses, and they have both eyes on the same side of their head. And they're based on a clumsy attempt at drawing Charlie Brown when I was a kid. My friends and I used to try to imitate the Peanut strip. And we could never get Charlie Brown to look anything like Charlie Brown, so it sort of mutated into Akbar and Jeff.
You make it sound like you don't draw very well.
Well, let me put it this way. No, I was the worst drawer of all my friends, but I stuck with it. Yeah, I'm slightly ashamed of my drawing. When I get together in a room full of cartoonists, I'm the one that is standing in the corner with my head hanging down.
Your new book is called School is Hell, and it's back to school time now. And while children are going back to school, adults are reminiscing about what their school days were like. Is School is Hell based on your memories of school?
Oh, certainly. I think that School is Hell is a pretty universal title, don't you? I mean,
yes.
If school was hell for me, and I think it was hell for virtually everybody who probably hears this, in fact, I think that if you don't think school was hell or is hell, then either you have a very bad memory or you're responsible for making school hell for someone else.
Well, look, if your basic premise is that life is hell, then it only follows that school is hell and work is hell and everything is hell.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But school really is hell. I mean, life is swell. But school, it's got some good points. But for the most part, I'm thinking of my own life experience. I was not guilty of a lot of the things I was accused of. I didn't drop the encyclopedia out the window. I didn't throw that rotten apple at Julie and hit her in the face when she had a broken leg. I didn't put up obscene posters around the school. And those were just the things that I was accused of that I wasn't guilty of that I got punished for. Just think of all the things that I was guilty of that I got punished for. I mean, it was endless, and I resented being punished for the things that I had done, but I really resented being punished for the things I hadn't done.
Were you ever punished for drawing cartoons in class?
Well, I had a teacher. In fact, it's referred to in my fifth grade diary in School is Hell. He liked to confiscate my cartoons. He'd wait until they were almost completed, and then he would snatch them from my desk. And
you make him sound very sadistic.
Oh, no, he was a really nice guy. He was the guy that used to draw on the blackboard a little chalk circle and make me stick my nose on it when I had done something like talk during class or something like that. And the bad part wasn't so much having your nose stuck on the blackboard. It's when he raised the circle, inch by inch as the year wore on. And I wasn't growing at that quite a rate.
When did you start thinking seriously of being a cartoonist?
Well, my father was a cartoonist before I was born. He drew those kinds of cartoons where prospectors are crawling across the desert dying of thirst, and people are cast away on a desert island, and the bottles float up, and all those kinds of gags. So I think I got something from him. He also gave me a lot of marker pens. But like I said before, I never really could draw much of anything except rabbits. And so I had no idea that that I would do this as a career. Fortunately, I went to a really wild college, and that was called the Evergreen State College in Olympia, Washington. And that had no grades, No required courses, no tests, no fraternities, no sororities, no football team, and no jobs upon graduation. But the best thing about it was that it allowed me to do whatever I wanted to do. And one of the things I did was work on the school paper, and that's where I met another cartoonist, Linda Berry, who draws cartoons for Esquire and has a syndicated comic strip called Ernie Pook's Comique in papers around the country. And she and I cartooned together and we stuck the cartoons in the paper, and that's basically how I got my start. She was my mentor and tormentor, too.
You got your start in alternative papers, and as a matter of fact, you still are in a lot of alternative papers. How do you think the standards for cartoons differ between alternative papers and the dailies that carry comics?
Well, I never get censored in an alternative paper, and in some of the daily comic newspapers that I'm in, there is a little bit of pulling back. You can only push them so far, and then they'll get upset. In fact, one paper wanted me to change the title of my comic strip from Life in Hell to Life in Heck, because they thought it would just be a little too much for their readers.
You have a series of comics of covers of specialty magazines that you've invented. One of them is called Annoying Street Lunatic, which is a magazine for the homeless, and you call it America's fastest-growing magazine. Another magazine that you've invented is Starving Artist Magazine, and one of the lead stories is how to cope with reading about wildly successful artists who are younger than you are. You make fun a lot of tortured, sensitive artists and striving artists. Have you ever thought of yourself as a starving artist?
Starving, yes. You know, I sort of made this vow a long time ago that I would not use the word art in conjunction with cartoons, because it seems like every time people talk about cartooning and they have to justify it to other people, they always say, oh, well, cartooning is literature or cartooning is art or whatever. And in my opinion, cartooning ain't art, ain't literature. It's just cartoons, and it's peripheral stuff. Cartoonists are not ready for some of the more sophisticated art forms, and they tend to resent serious art because it's not wacky enough. And so they do go through life. I'm, of course, not like that at all. They do go through with life vaguely resentful and kind of squinting at the rest of the world as it goes by, ignoring them.
Recently, you started doing animation for the Tracy Ullman Show. How does the animation that you're doing compare to the comics that you do? The cartoons that you do?
With the drawing, it's just me sitting alone at a desk, you know, trying to keep the sweat from dripping off the end of my nose onto the page. And with an animated cartoon, I work with lots and lots of people, and it's definitely a collaborative effort.
How do the characters you've created for that compare to the rabbits that you do in your cartoons?
Well, they have the same bulgy eyes, and they have the same little button-cute noses, and they have the same kind of very tragic overbite. But they don't have the big ears, except perhaps the mom, who has a giant bouffant hairdo, and she probably is concealing rabbit ears underneath. Perhaps in the last show I will reveal that she's actually a rabbit. It's a family called the Simpsons. Bart Simpson, Lisa Simpson, Maggie Simpson, and mom and dad, and they're sort of mutant 50s father's knows best family in hell. That's sort of a running theme in my stuff.
Is being a cartoonist hell?
Not at all. I had to be a cartoonist or something equally frivolous, and so every day that I'm able to sit down and have to and get to draw goofy, bulgy-eyed rabbits instead of something else, I feel very lucky.
Matt Groening, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Matt Groening spoke to us from the NPR Bureau in Los Angeles. His new collection of cartoons is called School is Hell.